This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولاء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Juz a Day presentation today on the sixth Juz of the Quran. This sixth Juz that we have today with us has the last part of Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa is the fifth Surah of the Quran, and then the majority of the sixth Surah, which is Surah Al-Ma'idah. These are the two Surahs that we have today. With us, Surah An-Nisa, we had discussed in some detail yesterday. And today we will spend most of our time discussing Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah, just like Surah An-Nisa, is a Medinan era revelation, a surah that was revealed after the Prophet ﷺ had left Mecca and went to Medina. In fact, Surah Al-Ma'idah is the surah that is, according to the majority of the scholars of tafsir, it was the last surah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. The last major surah that was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ was Surah Al-Ma'idah. And Surah Al-Ma'idah, the name comes from the very last part of Surah Ma'idah that talks about Isa alayhi salam and his disciples, Al-Hawariyun, how the disciples of Isa Al-Hawariyun were wanting a ma'idatan min as-sama, a table spread that was sent to them from the sky. And that is in the tradition of the Christians, the Last Supper. That is something that actually comes in the seven juz. We'll talk about that tomorrow, but that's where the name comes from, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that this is the surah of halal and haram, the surah that details matters that are halal and matters that are haram. In fact, in this surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, as we will see, 16 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who have believed. And this is 16 out of the 89 times in the entire Quran, which goes to show you that it's a significant portion of the Quran's commands that begin with Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu are in this surah. So it is a very significant part of the Quran from that aspect, from the aspect of rulings, what is halal, what is haram. Let us though start at the beginning of the juz, which is, as I mentioned, the last part of Surah An-Nisa. And if you remember from last time, we had said that Surah An-Nisa, the theme of Surah An-Nisa was justice and mercy, the establishment of justice and how we should be people, not just being just and giving people their rights, but trying to go above and beyond, demonstrating mercy for all people. Under the same topic, the last part of Surah Al-Nisa, we find the same topic there as well. The topic of justice and mercy in Surah An-Nisa. Let me just copy paste that here. There we go. This idea or this juz begins by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما. God does not love the utterance of evil words except in the case of someone who has been wronged, and God hears all and knows all. This is that injustice, should be spoken about. It should not just go unchecked. If it goes unchecked and is just left without being addressed, then it becomes normal. And when injustice becomes normal, then the whole society, people at large, are to be blamed for that. So this is something that the Quran mentions, that it should be spoken about. Other times, if people are mentioning things that are, unpleasant, shouldn't be mentioned, because unpleasant things publicly should not be aired. These are matters that there's no good that comes out of it. But unpleasant things like injustice need to be shared. And the one who's sharing it shouldn't feel bad about it. لا يحب الله الجهر بسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. They shouldn't feel like if their nature isn't to share what is unpleasant with the people, because that's a good-natured person, they shouldn't feel bad when sharing injustice, because it should be spoken about. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about unjust statements made about Allah's prophets and the chosen ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah says, يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. The people of the book ask you to bring down for them a book from the sky. Okay? Now, this is ironic because the Prophet ﷺ is sending or bringing them a book from the sky. That is the Quran. But what they want is they want like a magic trick, something descending from the sky. And then it's very interesting because the next surah speaks very much of them wanting a table spread of food descending from the sky. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is not, you know, this is not how people who are rational, who are looking to believe, that is not how they make demands of their prophets. But unfortunately, this was the injustice that Musa alayhi salam faced as well, when Allah says, فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَى أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. They asked Moses, they demanded a greater thing than that. فَقَالُوا أَرِنَا اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. What was that greater thing, even more audacious? They said, show us God face to face. Okay, this is a statement from people who are trying to find an excuse not to believe. Their desire isn't to commit their faith and act upon their faith. Their desire is to create a smokescreen and distractions until the point is forgotten, or it's so convoluted that it's not even relevant anymore. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cuts through all of that noise and says, this is not the statement of those who want to believe. فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. In fact, this is an unjust statement that they are making about a prophet of Allah. Similarly, they made unjust statements about Maryam alayhi salam. Okay, وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَىٰ مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. This is specifically referring to Bani Israel, by the way. The people who made that claim, asking Musa alayhi salam to show them God face to face, was Bani Israel, the same people that Musa saved. And here, the people who are supposed to, Maryam alayhi salam is from Bani Israel, but these very same people, وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَىٰ مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. Did they deny the truth? Denied the prophethood of Isa alayhi salam, and uttered a monstrous slander against Mary, claiming that she had an affair, which is a blasphemous statement. Wa qawlihim, again also being unjust to Isa alayhi salam. No one's been spared here. Inna qatalna al-masiha Isa ibn Maryam rasulullah. We have put to death the Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of God. And this is said, you know, that this Al-Masiha, Isa ibn Maryam, Rasulullah, this repetition is done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to show the mockery of their tone. How they're actually trying to mock the fact that Isa alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah, the Messiah, the son of Mary. All of those, that this repetition here shows a type of mockery that they're trying to make of Isa alayhi salam. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ. But Allah says they did not kill him. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. Nor did they crucify him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. But it only seemed to them as if it had been done so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him. Okay? بَرَّفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. God raised him towards himself. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Allah is almighty and all wise. Allah is most capable of doing that. If Allah could create us from a drop of fluid, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could bring Isa alayhi salam by the mere utterance of his word, is it not easy for Allah to raise Isa alayhi salam while he's alive from this world and spare him the difficulty the situation that he was in. Of course, it's not difficult for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this incident, the crucifixion, which is the central tenet of Christianity. He says, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهُ. And those who differ in this matter are in doubt concerning it. And this is so true. The crucifixion is still a matter of debate. How it happened, when it happened, the grave, who went there, you know, did he come? And all these questions are still questions that don't have definitive answers in Christian theology. And Allah says about them, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِ. They have no definitive knowledge about it, only following mere conjecture. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. And what's for a fact is they certainly did not kill him, Isa alayhi salam. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly highlights for us. Our belief in Isa alayhi salam is that he was raised by Allah. They did not kill him. He was not crucified, but somebody else was put on the cross that was made to seem to them that it was Isa alayhi salam. And those who think that this is somehow a act of divinity, Isa alayhi salam being on the cross, themselves are not really sure what happened. They don't have definitive knowledge. It is mere conjecture. This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the unjust statements that the prophets of Allah, like Musa alayhi salam, like Isa alayhi salam, the chosen ones, like Maryam alayhi salam, had to deal with from their own people. So this is the unfortunate, this is the irony that as a person tries to do good, they are unfortunately recipients many times, if not frequently, of the most vile accusations, the most unjust statements. And this is how things happened with the best of them, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Maryam alayhi salam. Okay? Consequences of injustice. Injustice has consequences. فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. Because of the wrongdoings of the Jews, we forbade them certain good things that had been allowed to them before, and for having frequently debarred others from God's path, from stopping people from believing in Allah's path, believing in Allah's revelations, from stopping people from accepting Isa alayhi salam as the true prophet of Allah, from stopping people from following the Musa alayhi salam's law as it was supposed to be followed. It was all of these sins piled up, and as a result of that, it was a loss of blessings. This is something that's important. That is what happens to us as well. If we are continually engaging in injustice, we will also suffer a loss of blessings. If you're continually engaging in sins, we are also going to suffer a loss of blessings. This is something that happens, إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on us. So it is a warning. This is a recount of history, but also a warning for those of us living in the present, that this could happen to us as well. Also, look, Allah says, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَى وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ. One of the reasons why they were barred the blessings that they enjoyed was for taking interest. وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ, while they had been forbidden to do so. وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and devouring people's wealth wrongfully, ripping people off, cheating people, exploiting people. All of these things were injustice, and all that injustice led to a loss of blessings. But as is the Quran style, Allah always mentions that not all people were bad people, lest we generalize and say, well, they were all this and that, and it's not true. That's not what it is, and that's why Allah mentions, لَكِنِ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ مِنْهُمْ. But to those of them who are firmly grounded in knowledge, okay. There were people there in Bani Israel who were firmly grounded in knowledge. And they were believers who truly believe in what was revealed to you and to reveal what was revealed to before you. And those who pray regularly and pay zakat and believe in God in the last day, we will surely give them a great reward. This is talking about people of the Jewish community who were around the Prophet ﷺ, and they believed in the Prophet, but also the Jewish people back in the time where all of these injustices were committed. There were good people. There were not all bad people. And this is the Quran's way. It describes criticizes when criticism is warranted, praises when praise is warranted. Generalizes to make a point, but also highlights the exceptions, because the exceptions are just as important. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this passage towards the very end of Surah An-Nisa, he will mention the prophets of Allah and then also conclude with a little bit of a ruling. The prophets of Allah are mentioned here. We have sent revelation to you, O Prophet, as we did to Noah and to the prophets who came after him. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَعِيسَى وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُونُسَ وَهَارُونَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. We have, just like it was sent to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes. The tribes are the sons of Yaqub, the 12 tribes of Bani Israel, the 12 sons of Yaqub. One of them is Yusuf, and from that comes the tribes of Bani Israel. To Jesus, to Job, Jonah, Aaron, Solomon, and David, to whom we gave the Psalms. وَرُسُلًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ. Messengers that we have told you about. Messengers whose stories are mentioned in the Quran, and others who are not mentioned in the Quran. They're messengers who were sent to all parts of the world at all different times in history. Some of them are mentioned, most of them are not. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And especially Allah highlights His chosen one, Musa alayhi salam, and God spoke to Moses directly. Okay? The messengers were sent. رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. They were warners and bringers of good news. Warners of the punishment of Allah, bringers of good news of Allah's grace, His salvation, His mercy. Mubashirin, bringing good news. Wa munzirin, giving warning. So that لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. So that mankind would have no excuse before God after the coming of the messengers. After the messengers have come, after the revelation has been sent, then humanity has a compass for morality, and that is what, you know, no one could say Allah just left us here on this world without any guidance, without any direction. No, the messengers and the revelation they brought were that indeed. And it's Allah's choice, by the way, to end the idea of messengership. It was His choice to end it with the Prophet ﷺ. It was His choice. And Allah is not questioned about His choice. We are questioned about our actions. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. God is mighty and wise. The prophets were warners and bringers of good news. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns against extremism in faith. Okay, He says, O mankind, the messenger has brought to you the truth from your Lord, and so believe for your own good. فَآمِنُوا خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. If you believe, it's for your own good. No one else is going to benefit. You will benefit. وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا. And if you deny the truth, then know that Allah, to Allah belongs all that's in the heavens and the earth. And Allah is, God is all-knowing and all-wise. Extremism in religion is very very dangerous. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. O people of the book, do not go to extremes in your religion. وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Say nothing but the truth about God. Okay? Don't, because of your affiliations, because of your prejudices, go to extremes and misrepresent or misconstrue the truth. The truth is, إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ. The Christ, Jesus the Son of Mary, was only a messenger of God, and His word conveyed to Mary a spirit from Him. Okay, وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ. He was the Messiah. He was the one, the Son of Mary. He was the messenger of Allah. He was His word. أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ. A word as in Allah saying be, and He was. وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ. He was a spirit from Him. The soul of Isa alayhi salam was from Allah, and He brought the spirit of the revelation back to life. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So believe in God and His messengers. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ. Don't say three. Don't say there is God the Father, and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Intahu khayrul lakum. Intahu khayrul lakum. Desist, it will be better for you. Innamallahu ilahun wahid. Indeed, Allah is the one and only God. This is Tawheed, one and only Allah. The Isa alayhi salam is his messenger. The Ruh is Jibreel alayhi salam, who brought this revelation. But they're not all three put together as one God. Desist, it will be better for you to say that. Subhanahu an yakuna lahu walad. His holiness is far above from having a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not befit him to have a son or a child of any kind. If he had a child, how is Allah different than a human being then? Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything, the creator of everything. He isn't a member of it, just like we are members of this earth. We have kids. No, Allah is the owner of it, the creator of it. Wa kafa billahi wakila. And Allah, God, is sufficient as a guardian. The idea of extremism in faith is, it leads to injustice, it leads to bad practice, or a misunderstanding of the faith and misapplication of it. Again, the surah concludes with Allah saying, O people, you have received قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بُرْهَانٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, clear evidence from your Lord, and we have sent to you a clear light. Brother Danish is asking, Mirza Danish is asking about Ruh. Ruh minhu is referring to Isa alayhi salam being, you know, his spirit is from Allah. Ruh minhu. Okay? And also Ruh, Ar-Ruh with the Al, the spirit, refers to Jibreel alayhi salam, for he is the one who brought the revelation to Isa, and he's the one who brought the word of Allah kun to Maryam, and he blew it into Maryam. So that is, both aspects are there, wallahu a'lam. Okay, again, ya ayyuhannas, O people, you have received clear evidence from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a clear light. Wa anzalna ilaykum nuran mubina. That is how Allah describes our religion. It is a clear light. How can the clear light put people in darkness? How can it make us do something that is irrational? How can our religion, that is a religion that is a clear light, make us do something that is, a very dark thing? This is a very important description of how our faith is. أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. You've sent down a clear light to you. Okay? The surah ends with a very important ruling of inheritance, which is about what's called a kalala, a person who has no direct heir. They has nobody above them, no father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, and they have no inheritor, no son, daughter. What happens in their situation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the ruling there, and he says, يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَن تَضِلُّ. God makes things clear to you, lest you go astray, so that you don't go astray, and he knows, Allah has knowledge of all things. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. This is a very important idea, that the commands of Allah, the rulings of the Quran and the Sunnah, the Sharia, are meant to be a way for us to be things, for things to be clear to us. It's a way for us so that we don't go astray. And that is a beautiful segue into Surah Al-Ma'idah, the Surah of Halal and Haram. You know, the Surah Nisa ends with a ruling and Allah saying, this is done so you can be guided. Surah Ma'idah has rulings after rulings. 16 times, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina comes in it. And that is, again, to show that this is how guidance is attained. This is how, we attain the straight path and salvation in the next life. It's a beautiful transition into Surah Al-Ma'idah. How does Surah Ma'idah begin? Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu Awfu Bil Uqood. Believers, fulfill your obligations. Awfu bil uqud. Fulfilling our contracts is part of faith. That is what it is. Awfu bil uqud. Al-aqd is a contract. We sign, or we agree verbally, or it's a word that you give to somebody, or it's a promise that's made to somebody. All of that is al-aqd. Everything there is an obligation, the theme of Surah Al-Ma'idah is fulfilling our commitments. We're going to, inshallah, instead of doing the theme juz per juz, we'll do theme of now surah by surah, because it's a little bit easier as now the juz is split between multiple surahs going forward. The theme of this surah is fulfilling our commitments to all. Commitments to Allah, commitments to people. Okay, and this is why this surah begins with, O believers, fulfill your commitments of all types. Okay, commitments that Allah mentions that are binding on us as part of our faith, our commitments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as part of our faith, is the idea of the sanctity of the Kaaba and the rituals of Al-Hajj. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tuhillu sha'air Allah. Do not violate the sanctity of God's signs, the sacred months, the sacrificial animals, the animals wearing garlands, indicating they are to be sacrificed. These are clear signs or clear, sha'air. They are clear, markers of the rituals of Hajj. Okay, the rituals of Hajj and Umrah, which is actually a ritual that is from Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, upholding the sanctity of this, upholding the sanctity of those rituals is part and parcel of our commitment to our faith, the rituals of Al-Hajj and the sanctity of the Kaaba. Okay, part and parcel of our commitment to Allah is what we can eat and what we can't eat. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرُ. You are forbidden al-mayta, which is dead meat, roadkill, wa-dam, blood, wa-lahmu al-khinzir, pork. Okay, anything from the pig, whether it is its meat or its flesh, or well, meat and flesh the same thing, but its bones or skin, all of it is considered to be impermissible, impure. Okay, wama uhilla li ghayrillahi bihi, any flesh which the name of other than Allah has been invoked upon. Wal munkhaniqatu, and a creature that was strangled and then died. Wal mawqudatu, a creature that was killed by a blow. Wal mutaraddiyatu, and a creature that was mawquda is killed by a blow or because it fell down or something in an accident. Wal mutaraddiyatu, a creature that was gored to death. وَالنَّطِيحَةُ, or half eaten by a wild animal. وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبْعُ إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ, saving that which was made lawful to you by slaughtering properly while it was still alive. وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبْ, and what's been slaughtered at an altar. وَأَن تَسْتَقْسِمُوا بِالْأَزْلَامِ, and using divining arrows. Okay, divining arrows was a way to, it was a way to seek good luck. It was a way to seek how to make decisions. These were all superstitious practices. Our religion throws them in the garbage because they are garbage. There is no such thing. It is destiny of Allah. It's the qadr of Allah. All of these types of food that's mentioned before is food that is impure and impermissible. Either because it is at its core impure, like pork or blood, or because something happened to it that shouldn't have happened, like a roadkill, or an animal that was, beaten to death, or killed by a blow, or in a fall, like a halal animal, say like a cow or something, right? All of these are rulings that are mentioned here, and because these are important parts of our commitment to our faith. You are what you eat, as they say. So we eat what's pure, we eat what's good, we eat what is excluded by this list. Everything else, right? مَا يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ. They ask you what's been made lawful for them. قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. All good things have been made lawful to you. Meaning, everything other than what's mentioned as haram is halal for food. Okay? Everything is halal unless it is made haram. And that is our commitment to our faith. That is our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is us upholding our end of the contract And then Allah will uphold His end of the contract, which is الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Okay, that is, today I have completed your religion for you and completed my blessing upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Right? Allah's blessing is completed upon us when we practice our faith. And part of that practice is what we eat. This is important. This is not trivial. We don't just like trivialize this matter. We take it seriously. And what we understand is that what's haram is less and what's halal is much, 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 much more. Whatever is not mentioned is halal. Okay? So it's a very beautiful principle of our faith. Also, what it's mentioned here is who you also consider. Still talking about what you can eat is وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلُّ لَهُمْ. This is a matter of some sort of contention. The food of the people of the book is lawful to you, and your food is lawful to them. The details of this obviously we cannot discuss right now. But this is an ayah of the Quran because believers have always lived in proximity to the people of other scripture. Ahlul Kitab particularly, the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, and historically our, you know, civilization, we've many parts of our civilization or our countries have been in proximity with other Ahlul Kitab. So this is a way to build bridges among the faiths. We don't agree on theology for sure, but we can agree on food and come together over food. And that's a way to bring people closer together and give them da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Okay? So that idea of food is mentioned there. And Allah says, Al-Yawma uhilla lakum tayyibat, all good things have been made lawful to you. Okay? I.e. all things are halal. All halal things are tayyibat, are good. Also speaks about who we can marry and build families with. Okay? وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, the chaste believing women. وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and the chaste women of the people who were given the book before you, okay, are lawful to you. So we can build, a Muslim man can marry a woman of a Christian or Jewish faith, given that she is muhsanat, she is a chaste woman, okay? She is someone who is chaste. And إِذَا آتَيْتُمُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ, giving them their dowers. The laws of Islamic marriage, the principles of it are implemented. And you marry them, neither committing fornication nor taking them as mistresses. This shouldn't be like a fling or something. This is a real marriage, a real building of a family. And if that's the case, then it is permissible. If that's not the case, then it is impermissible. Allah knows who is using these ayat to mess around and who is using them in their true spirit. The idea is, though, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us as part of our contracts who it is that we can build our families with. And this will come actually in Surah An-Nur more later, Surah number 24. Quran shouldn't be taken in isolation. This is one part of the puzzle. The other part of the puzzle is in Surah number 24, Surah An-Nur, where Allah speaks about what should be the priority of the person who is trying to build a family, right? الطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ. The righteous men and women should marry each other. Okay, so this is the complete picture that's painted, that men and women, believers, should marry good, righteous people of the same faith to try to give their faith and give their kids particularly a clear identity of faith. But it is permissible in the tradition, in our scriptures, to marry somebody from outside the faith for a man, as long as they are not being, they're not being used as mistresses, there's no fornication there, and they are chaste believing women of their faith tradition. Okay, that is there, wallahu a'lam. Okay, a part of our fulfilling contracts, of course, these are detailed ayat. Ahkam have a lot of details. I am skimming over them, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? And yes, in the note on the translation, I'm using the translation from tanzeel.net. This is Wahiduddin Khan. A better translation is actually on Quran.com, but of Abdul Halim, Professor Abdul Halim. But unfortunately, tanzeel.net doesn't have it, and I like to reference the Quran like this, where I have the ayah and the translation next to me. That's why I'm using Tanzeel.net. And the best of those in Tanzeel.net is this Wahiduddin Khan translation. So that's what I'm using right now, inshallah. Okay. Wudu and purification. That's part of our contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha qumtum ila salati faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq. Believers, when you rise to pray, wash your faces and your hands up to the elbows, wipe your heads, and wash your feet up to the ankles. This is the pillars of wudu, alright? This is something Allah mentions in this ayah. This is called ayatul wudu. And the ayatul wudu ends with Allah saying, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجَعَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّنْ حَرَجِ. Ayatul wudu talks about wudu. Ayatul wudu talks about taking ghusl, a full bath. Ayatul wudu talks about if you cannot take a ghusl or a bath, you have no water, then you can make tayammum. Okay? فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. Take some clean sand and rub your faces and hands with it. But then ayatul wudu concludes with talking about why do we make wudu. And this is the Quran style. When Allah tells you what, He tells you also why. Why are we making wudu? Allah does not wish to place any burden upon you. وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ. He only wants to purify you. وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. And perfect His favor upon you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you may be grateful. Okay, the reason for us making wudu, purifying ourselves, praying, everything that builds on top of wudu. Wudu is like the smallest thing here. The first part of this puzzle. Everything from that starts with wudu is so that it's not supposed to be a burden. It is only meant to be a purification, physically and spiritually. And once we have attained this purification physically and pure, spiritually, then that is Allah's perfection of His blessings upon us. And that is what this ayah refers to. Contracts that are binding upon us, commitments that are binding upon us, wudu and purification, and everything related to wudu and purification is a commitment of our faith. And that is done not to burden us, but to purify us. Allah mentions also that this is a blessing. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is a favor of Allah. Don't forget, this is not just like something that's difficult. It is meant to be Allah's favor. Allah mentions again, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the fourth time already. Believers, O you who believe, O you who believe, fourth time. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Be steadfast in the cause of God and bear witness with justice. Again, justice, standing up for justice. Part of our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of what we have committed to as part of our faith to Allah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is about commitments and fulfilling our commitments to Allah and the people. Standing for justice is a commitment to Allah and it is a commitment to the people. Both things. And it also highlights something very subtle and very, very beautiful and very difficult. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعَدِلُوا. Do not let your enmity for others turn you away from justice. How easy it is for enmity, grudges, beef, prejudice to cause us to be unjust, to say something that is unjust, to say something that's unjust, to do something that's unjust, to deal with somebody in an unjust manner because we have enmity towards them because of something they said, because of something they did. What is supremely difficult is اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Deal justly, that is nearer to being God-fearing. Irrespective of how I feel about that person, I have to deal with them justly because that is أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. That is closer to being a person who fears Allah, who's conscious of Allah. And taqwa, remember, that's the goal of our actions, of our worship. Siyam has been written, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you can attain taqwa. The Quran is a guidance, لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, for the people of taqwa. This action, the one who can overcome their base desires to seek revenge and still deal justly with people, irrespective of what they feel about them, that is a person who is demonstrating what it means to be closer to guidance, closer to the spirit of the practice of our faith, at-taqwa. Subhanallah. And that is a beautiful thing, a very difficult thing. And Allah again reminds, wattaqullah, fear God. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. For God is all aware of, is aware of all that you do. This is very difficult for a person who has had a bitter experience with somebody, a couple that has split up bitterly as a divorce, somebody who's had a bad experience with people that they have worked with or they have volunteered with. All of these, that bitterness, it stays. What's difficult is to put that aside and deal with the other person justly. What's easy is to give into that. And that is what this ayah is highlighting. And Allah says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِدُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. God has promised those who believe and do good, if who do good deeds, forgiveness and a great reward. This is not easy, but Allah's promise is those who do it, Allah will forgive them and give them a great, great reward. But those who deny the truth and deny our signs, they are destined for the fire of hell. Okay? This is a very beautiful instruction from Allah. Remember what a great favor and blessing this contract, this commitment is. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O believers, remember the blessings of Allah upon you. Okay? This is Allah's constant reminder to us. Remember Allah's blessings. Remember Allah's blessings. Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. As for the blessings of your Lord, mention them. Okay? This is something we need to do to be thankful to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this frequently in the Quran to remind the Sahaba to be thankful for the favors that he's done to them. And for us to learn the lesson to be grateful to Allah, we have to continue remembering the good that Allah has done to us. Okay? The next part of the Quran, or the next part of this surah, talks about how previous nations who held the title of the ones who were given revelation, the ones who had the prophets, how they failed to live up to their commitment. Okay? Their commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. This is talking about Bani Israel. Okay? أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. The covenant of the children of Israel, giving them 12 leaders. Allah telling them, I am going to be with you as long as you say your prayers and pay the zakat and believe in the messengers. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them clear guidelines. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. But then they broke their commitment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a consequence of them breaking their commitment, لَعَنَّاهُمْ. We laid on them our curse. وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. And hardened their hearts. Meaning, now a reminder from Allah's words doesn't affect them. Now, it goes in one ear and comes out the other ear. That is what happens when the hearts have hardened. That's what happens when bitterness lingers to the point where it affects a person's spirituality. Now, spirituality is gone. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here. The consequence of that. And we should be scared of this. We should be scared of if we don't fulfill our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we continually fail without feeling remorse. Continually fail. Eventually, all remorse is gone. And then eventually, there is no desire to ever go back and fix. And that's the hardening of the hearts. And that's a scary proposition, a slippery slope. And we need to be careful of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us through the example of Bani Israel of this very, very important vice. Talks also about, وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. Ayah number 14. And we made a covenant with those who said we are Christians. أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we took their commitments. فَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. But they too have forgotten much of what they were enjoined. فَأَغْرَيْنَا بَيْنَهُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So we have put enmity and hatred between them until the day of judgment. وَسَوْفَ يُنَبِّئُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. And soon God will declare to them what they have been doing. Another consequence of not fulfilling our contract with Allah, our commitment with Allah, is أَغْرَيْنَا بَيْنَهُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَى. Enmity and hatred starts to spring up among people. The Christians have fought amongst each other, intersect battles in Christianity have been the worst in history. If you think the Muslims are bad, you have no idea how bad Christian history is. You have to read a little bit of it just to get a glimpse of how harrowing it is. Okay? There's a reason why secularism came and completely wiped away the Christian rule, because it was so toxic. أَغْرَيْنَا بَيْنَهُمُ الْعَذَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَى. Enmity and hatred that knew no bounds. Okay? SubhanAllah. This is a historical fact. But this is also a lesson for us, that when we fail our commitments to Allah, we will, just like Bani Israel, we will have hardened hearts if we continue to fail without remorse. And if we fail Allah's commitment, like the Nasara, like the Christians, we will eventually start to have enmity and hatred between us. Does that sound familiar? Because it's happening, unfortunately. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us through the example of the people of the book. He reminds the people of the book. It's a invitation to them. Ya ahl al-kitabi qad ja'akum rasuluna yubayyinu lakum kathiran mimma kuntum tukhfuna min al-kitab wa ya'fu an kathir. Our messenger has come to you to make clear to you much of what you have hidden of the scripture and to forgive you much. Okay? Allah is inviting you. Qad ja'akum min Allahi nurun wa kitabun mubin. Okay? This is the way of peace. God guides to the ways of peace. Subul as-salam. Takes people out of darkness to the light, guiding them to the straight path. This is what the religion is supposed to be. It's supposed to be light that takes us out of darkness, the ways of peace that allow us to seek Allah's pleasure. It's a straight path. Straight path is an analogy to the truth that is clear, that we follow, and there's no doubt about it. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Quran and the Prophet is doing. Okay? There is a delusion of the chosen nation that Bani Israelites had that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses. He says about this, he says to them that the Jews and the Christians say that we are the children of God and His beloved ones. Okay, this is a delusion. Allah says, فَلِمَ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. Then why does He punish you for your sins? بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِمَّنْ خَلَقٍ. You are but human beings among those that He has created. Meaning, all of us are human beings. No one is chosen to be above the other. The way we are chosen is through piety and goodness. And that is what we should be focusing on, not the calls of ethnicity or tribalism. Okay? Some realities of faith Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. He mentions some realities of faith, and he actually mentions two stories back to back of two brothers. First story is two brothers who are brothers in faith, but they failed still, despite the fact that they were brothers in faith, they failed to unite their people. And those two are Musa and Harun. Okay, with qala Musa liqawmihi ya qawm idhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. Moses reminded his people, O people, remember Allah's favors upon you. He has done so much for you. He has given you that which He has not given anybody else in the world. O people, enter the holy land. Udkhulul ardal muqaddasata allati kataba Allahu lakum. Allah has written it for you. It's yours. Enter it. But what happened? The people of Musa said, we can't enter it. We won't enter it. Because there are a powerful people in that land, and we will not enter until they leave. Now two men stood up from the people of Musa. Again, not everybody is bad. This is the constant theme the Quran wants us to not forget about. When Israel did horrible things, said audacious things that were inappropriate, insulting, but not all of them were like that. Two men who were God-fearing, from the ones that Allah had blessed, they said, enter through the gate, for as soon as you enter, you shall be victorious. They knew it. The promise of Allah is true. But Bani Israel were like, no, Musa, how about you and your God go ahead and fight? We will stay here. Inna hauna qa'idun. We're going to sit here and watch. Now, subhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam is disappointed. He says, my Lord, I have no power over myself, except over myself and my brother. Me and my brother, we tried our best. We can't do anything, to change these people. فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Separate us from the disobedient people. And Allah's punishment, again, the lack of a commitment to fulfill, the lack of commitment to Allah's cause will, or the lack of commitment to fulfilling our commitments with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause a loss of blessings. That's what's going to happen. It causes the loss of blessings, and that's what happens here. فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً. This land is forbidden to them for 40 years while they wander around the earth bewildered. So do not grieve over these wicked people. SubhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam, even though he did everything right, he unfortunately didn't reach the holy land. He wandered the desert for 40 years and then passed away. And this is this is the qadr of Allah. Sometimes, you know, you don't get to see the fruit of your hard work. And Musa alayhi salam was one of those people who worked very hard, did everything right, was the chosen one, yet because his people didn't change quickly enough, didn't do what was right, didn't stay committed to their cause, ended up costing so dearly 40 years of wandering in the land. The other two brothers that are mentioned here in this passage, back to back, the next part is the two brothers who are the sons of Adam, Cain and Abel. As mentioned in the Bible as well, one of them, when they both presented an offering, فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. One of them, their offering was accepted, the other one was not. Because one was sincere in trying to please Allah, devoted, the other one was not. The other one who was not accepted from, he got angry and he got jealous, and his animosity grew so much that he said, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I am going to kill you for sure. Now, this is unfortunately what happens when people are trying to live faithfully. Not always does it go smoothly, all right? People will start to hate the one who does the right thing. And here is his own brother hating his brother for doing the right thing. Instead of focusing on fixing himself, he's like, you know what? I'm going to end your life so that I don't have to see you succeed. I don't have to watch you succeed. So I'm just going to end you. And subhanAllah, that's what he did. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِي. His lower self persuaded him to kill his brother. His base desires forced him, or you know, made it okay for him to go ahead and slay his own flesh and blood. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And then he became one of the losers. This is what happens when a person does well, they do right, they fulfill their commitments, they're doing everything well, and they're flourishing. Oftentimes, they will face unwarranted hate. And those who are giving them this unwarranted hate, instead of fixing themselves, unfortunately, their base desires makes it seem okay for them to hate the other. And that is what we learn from this story. And subhanAllah, this man, unfortunately, actually resented the fact that he killed his brother. Am I not even able to be like this raven so that I may hide the corpse of my brother? فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. He became, you know, remorseful. But still, he did the murder. And because of that, Allah says, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادًا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Then that's why it was laid as a law for the children of Israel and for all of us afterwards as well, that whoever killed a human being, except as a punishment for murder or for a punishment of spreading corruption in the land, shall be regarded as having killed all of mankind. And whoever saved a human life shall be regarded as having saved all of mankind. SubhanAllah. And that shows the sanctity of life in Islam, and the consequences of taking an innocent person's life. Okay, the Quran speaks also about here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles the Prophet. The Prophet is doing his utmost best, but he, of course, is a human being, and he's going to feel the emotions of a human being. And when he sees a lack of commitment from people, a lack of response from people, he would naturally feel saddened. He will naturally wonder, is he doing something wrong with him? So Allah reminds him, لَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Don't be grieved. It's not your fault, O Prophet. You tried your best, and it's their end of the commitment that they're not keeping. Your job, you have done well. Okay? Now, the interesting thing is the Quran talks about the Torah, the Gospels, the Quran, in this next passage, ayah number 44 onwards, speaking about how these divine laws were sent by Allah to be implemented. That's actually part of the commitment to faith. Inna anzalna tawrata fiha hudan wa nur. We have revealed the Torah in which there is guidance and light. The Torah was the word of Allah. So there is guidance in it and there is light in it. And by the Torah, the prophets who were obedient to us judged the Jews, and so did the rabbis and the priests, according to God's book, which had been entrusted to their care. All right. Again, this is praise of Bani Israel. The prophets of Bani Israel implemented the Torah, as did the rabbis and the priests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them here. He will also chastise them. Not too far down the road in the same surah, he will say, لَوْلَا يَنْهَاهُمُ الرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارُ عَنْ قَوْلِهِمُ الْإِثْمَ وَأَكْلِهِمُ السُّحْتِ. Why do their rabbis and scholars not forbid them from uttering sinful words or to consume what is unlawful? You see, the previous ayah was praising the priests and rabbis for implementing the law of the Torah. Okay, ayah number 44. Let me demonstrate this to you from my thing here. Ayah number 44 praises وَالرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارِ, the rabbis and the priests, for upholding the law of the Torah, for honoring their commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then ayah number 63 criticizes the rabbis and the scholars, الربانيون والأحبار, for not stopping evil, for feeling the commitment to the people and feeling the commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لبئس ما كانوا يصنعون. Okay, how terrible it is what they have done. So this is the Quran's way. The Quran will praise when praise is warranted and criticize when criticism is warranted as well. The Quran also speaks about the law of the Injil. وَلْيَحْكُمْ أَهْلُ الْإِنْجِيلِ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ. The people of the gospel should judge by and should live by the gospel. The laws of Injil should be implemented. If you believe in it, part of your commitment should be to implement those laws. And then finally, Allah talks about the Quran. The Quran also Allah has sent, not just as like a book to be read so we get ajr from it. It's not just like a personal thing. We believe the Quran is to be implemented as law, as policy. That is part and parcel of our faith. That's part and parcel of our commitment. Now, of course, our circumstances personally or our circumstances currently in the way we are different, but the asl still shouldn't be forgotten. That's how the Quran was supposed to be. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Judge therefore between them by what God has revealed and do not follow their vain desires, turning away from the truth. Subhanallah. The Sharia is set, is our divine set of laws, and we have a distinct identity from others. Okay. The surah speaks about how we should try. This is the idea of لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء, not to take Jews and Christians as allies. An important concept. This is political allegiances against a Muslim government. That is number one implication of this. Number two, Jews and Christians, as we learned in the ayah before, you can marry into a Jewish or a Christian family. A Muslim man can marry into a Jewish or a Christian family. So clearly you can have relations that are family relations. You can have your wife be a Jew or a Christian, right? So this is just more than a friend. This is your wife, okay? In good terms, at least. So this alliances, awliya, is referring specifically to political allegiances, particularly when it is against the interests of other Muslims. Also, it is referring to the fact that Muslims have our own identity, and we should try to be, like the Prophet said, فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. Be careful of who is your close friend, because your close friends define you. And all of you should see the world the same way. And that is an important instruction as well. The Quran also tells us, don't seek friendship from those who are ridiculing the religion and making a mockery out of it. That is unacceptable. We cannot be buddy-buddy with the person who mocks God or mocks the religion of God or any scripture of God, particularly Quran. We're not friends with these people. We are supposed to, you know, have a clear separation from them and not to take them as very close friends in any type, in any way. Okay? The Quran, juz concludes at the very end of it with two things. I will just mention them. Number one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning to the Prophet, O Prophet, your job is to convey. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Deliver whatever has been sent down to you by your Lord. وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَكَ. Okay? Your job is to convey the message, O Prophet. This last part is the juz concludes with a conversation again about Isa alayhi salam. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. The deniers of the truth are those who say God is one of three. But there is only one God. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. وَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا. If they do not desist from saying so, a painful punishment is bound to befall such of them as are bent on denying the truth. Okay? This is another point that Allah makes here. And this will segue into the next juz tomorrow, inshallah. Okay? Why does Allah mention Isa alayhi salam and the Christians here? We will learn in the next juz tomorrow. But very interesting, that's the last point, the second of the two points I wanted to mention, is how Allah describes Maryam and Isa, and I'll leave that over here. مَا الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. Christ, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many messengers before had passed away. Okay. وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ. His mother was a virtuous, righteous woman. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They both ate food like mortals. How can they be gods if they ate food like mortals? That's one of the proofs that Allah gives. That's a logical proof. Isa alayhi salam was not God. Why? He used to eat food. He's a human being. How could he be God and be all-powerful, almighty, have divinity, could forgive sins, if he is dependent on food to survive? You see? انظر كيف نبين لهم الآيات. See how we make the signs clear to them. ثم انظر أنا يؤفكون. And then see how they turn away. Subhanallah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement about Isa and Maryam. And then tomorrow we'll learn why does Allah make this statement, because tomorrow is a very interesting, a very important passage about Christians who are praised in the Quran. Very interesting passage is coming up, inshallah. I'll see you all tomorrow, same time, same place. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But yeah.